We now come in our study to Catechism number 23. What offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? Christ, as our Redeemer, executeth the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. What offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? Christ, as our Redeemer, executeth the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. We're told that there are three offices, prophet, priest, and king, and there are two estates, humiliation and exaltation. And the next five questions in the Catechism will deal with each of the offices and then with both of the estates, humiliation and exaltation. And so in many ways this is an introductory Catechism. It's preparing us for what is coming next. But it's bringing this together as well to show us how they complement and belong together. Let's think about what we're told. Christ, as our Redeemer, executeth the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king. Very briefly, the word executeth. We encountered it in question 8 about how God executeth his decrees. And you understand that that word means to enact, to put into action. It means to do, to fulfill. You might say Christ as our Redeemer fulfills the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king. But what does it mean by office? Perhaps when you think of office, you think of a building where somebody goes to work. But that's not what is meant here. Rather, it is a public position. It is a role. It is a function that somebody has. And it is a role or a responsibility that they take on for someone else. We use it. Offices. The high office. Somebody enters high office. The offices of estate. And when somebody enters into high office, become senior in government, or the judiciary, or something like that, we often think of the dignity and the honour and the prestige of the person. But we forget that the person who has been elected to or appointed to office is actually a servant. They have been given that position so that they might act on behalf of another. Perhaps to act on behalf of Her Majesty the Queen. Perhaps it's to act on behalf of the nation, the people of the nation. The officer is a public servant, is a minister. What offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? The relationship of the Saviour and the work that the Saviour does for his people is represented in Scripture in many ways. The shepherd who gathers and leads and tends, the teacher who instructs, the physician who heals. But the narrative of sacred scripture emphasizes three principal offices. That of a prophet, and of a priest, and of a king. Think in your mind through the history of the Old Testament. It's a history of the different prophets, it's a history of the different priests, and it's a history of the different kings and the role they had in the working of the nation of the people of God. And these three principal offices, prophet, priest and king, they all actually correspond to how man was constituted. What do I mean by that? Well, think back to question 10. How did God create man? And the answer is God created man, male and female, after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. The devastating effect of sin, of course, demolishes and destroys all that Adam was. And now there is shame and sorrow, and that is our experience as the sons and daughters of Adam. But because God will redeem, he will come and provide, so that there will be a prophet to give the knowledge that was lost. There will be a priest to work the righteousness that was lost. There will be a king to establish the holiness that was lost. Prophet, priest and king. God created man, male and female, after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. That dominion being part of that kingly responsibility. And so God has provided what is essential to redeem following the fall. As you read through the history in the Old Testament of the children of Israel, you can rejoice when you see the influence of the faithful, godly prophets, and the godly priests, and the faithful kings. And you lament as you see the false prophets and the deceitful priests, and you see the malicious, selfish, ungodly kings, and the confusion and disorder that comes upon the people of God as a consequence. But there is that transition, isn't there? There's a king who follows a king who follows a king, and some are good and some are not so good, and some are bad. And the same with the prophets, and the same with the priests. They are temporary. And the succession of one to another brings a vulnerability, because the good ones will die and others will rise in their place. And as Solomon speaks in Ecclesiastes, he says he does not know who will follow him. The caliber of him who will follow him. And so we lament the this temporary succession, but also we lament the inconsistency of the faithful, because even the good prophets and the good priests and the good kings had their failings. Moses sinned against God. David sinned against God. Aaron sinned against God. And it leaves us longing for a perfect king, for a perfect priest, for a perfect prophet. Now, there's no one text in the scripture that unites these three offices together. There's no one text that says that Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, is a prophet, a priest, and a king. But what we have here in the Catechism is not forced and is not false, but rather it is a bringing together of all the scriptural information, as it were, on this. This is the advantage of a systematic theology. It brings together the relevant revelation. Remember Moses? He was supremely a prophet, but he had a priestly role, did he not? In the establishing of the tabernacle, in the consecrating of Aaron and the Aaronic priesthood. As he interceded for the nation, as the nation sinned against God, we see Moses, the great prophet, with a priestly role. And we might say also that Moses, as the leader of the people, was like a king in that he judged them, he ruled them, he led them, he defended them. He's supremely a prophet. But we see in Moses a prophet who's like a priest, who's like a king. You can think of David. Now, David's supremely king. But yet, with David, there is a priestly role in his bringing the ark to Jerusalem. We're told at that time that he wore a linen ephod. That's priestly clothing. David is also a prophet. Think of the Psalms that he produced, which declare the coming Christ. He spoke with a spirit of prophecy. So in David, this great man of God, this central figure in the scripture, we see he is a king, but he's a king who is priest-like and prophet-like. You may think of Ezra. Ezra is supremely a priest, but there was a prophetic-like role in his calling the nation to repentance. There was a kingly role as he executed justice upon those who had sinned against God. As he drives off the enemies of God and he gathers in the people of God. There's no one text that brings together these three offices, but there are these central figures who not only fulfill one of these roles, but we see elements of the other offices in them. And in that way, anticipate the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is prophet and priest and king. What offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? Christ as our Redeemer executeth the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. Briefly then, our Lord is a prophet. What does a prophet do? A prophet reveals God to the people. The prophet faces the people and says, "Thus saith the Lord." And the prophet declares what would otherwise not be known. The prophet gives knowledge. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up, and in Acts chapter 3, we're told of his preaching. And he said in verse 22, "Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days," what days? "These days now. For here is Christ, the great prophet, who will make God known, and who can make God known in the clearest way, for he can say, 'He who has seen me hath seen the Father.'" Well, the prophet faces and addresses the people. The priest faces and addresses God. Because the priest goes before God on behalf of the people. The prophet comes to the people on behalf of God, but the priest goes to God on behalf of the people to make intercession, to make atonement, to bring sacrifice, to plead for them. We read in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews, of course, is really, it's a commentary, it's an explanation of aspects of the Levitical system. and how looks forward to Christ. And it tells us that the high priest is called of God. And he says that Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but rather that God said to him, "Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." That's a quote from Psalm 2. And then he quotes from Psalm 110 and says, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So there is Jesus Christ. And he's a priest. Not in the Aaronic line. He's not a Levite. He's from the tribe of Judah. But he's a priest like Melchizedek. A priest who will continue forever. Jesus Christ is prophet. Jesus Christ is priest. Thirdly, he is king. The prophet speaks for God to the people. The priest speaks for the people to God. What does the king do? The king rules over and defends the people. Jesus Christ, of course, is the king. You remember the triumphal entry as he comes into Jerusalem riding upon the donkey. A very great multitude, we're told, spread their garments in the way. Another cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and followed cried, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Matthew, in recording that, explains that it was a fulfillment of what was spoken by the prophet Zechariah. In chapter 9 and verse 9, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." There was an irony, wasn't there, in Pilate's ironic comment. Remember that placard he made to go upon the cross? Above the head of the Saviour, the King of the Jews. And it was written with scorn. It was meant to be ironic that this is the King of the Jews. And yet the irony is that this is not only the King of the Jews, but the King of Kings. What offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? Christ, as our Redeemer, executeth the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. And we will think more, particularly in a future catechism, what each office entails and what it means. This estate of humiliation, that's his condescension at the incarnation, his public ministry, culminating in his death on the cross and his lying in the grave, and his exaltation, his rising, his ascending, and his sitting on the throne in glory today. Christ as our Redeemer executed the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. And do you know what that means? That means there is no subsequent prophet, there is no subsequent priest, there is no subsequent king. He never surrenders this role. That's why we sing in Psalm 72, "His name forever shall endure." Because he does not die. Well, he did die. But he rose again from the dead. And he's alive forevermore. Our prophet and our priest and our king in glory. There, representing us. There, ruling over us. There, revealing himself by his Spirit. revealing the Father through himself by his Spirit to us. The apostles had a prophetic-like role, but they spoke in the name of the Lord, and that was an aspect of the Saviour's work. There are, of course, on earth kings and queens. But when we talk about no subsequent king, we're talking about the work of redemption. He alone rules his people. He alone rules in the church. That's why a minister is a minister and not a priest. The Roman Catholic system teaches that there are priests who are active in the church, and the chief priest is the Pope, who sits at the head of the church. The priests offer the continual sacrifice of the Mass and so appease the just demands of God as they see it. The Vatican State sets itself up as an authority over all the kings of the earth and maintain that the Pope is the head of the church. And as Pope, he sits upon a throne and wears a crown. And then when the Pope makes a decree, a papal bull it is called, he speaks out of the chair that he sits in. It comes with all the authority of God, so we're told. And you see how the Pope is presented as a successor to Christ, a prophet and a priest and a king, and how that flies in the face of all that is shown us in Scripture. For he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a prophet and a priest and a king, both in his estate of humiliation and in his estate of exaltation. That means he remains prophet, priest and king today. And there is no successor. He has no vicar, no substitute here upon earth. But he himself fulfills these offices by the work of the Spirit. And so this catechism helps us to see why the Roman Catholic system is mistaken, how it's false, how it has no scriptural basis. Paul warns us in 2 Thessalonians. He's talking of the final day and the return of the Lord. He said, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." There is a very solemn warning for us, friends, to turn away from that, to recognise that we have no need for any human priest today to serve us, to represent us. We have no need for any other revelation of God other than what he himself has given us in his word. And we have no head over our church. We have no king but Christ. What offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer? Christ as our Redeemer executeth the offices of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. Amen.